Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to who it applies to. Let me see. How you been? Isn't it beautiful outside? We should probably just have service outside, shouldn't we? You think so? Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. Let's see. How about we turn to page 448, and let's stand, please. 448. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. It was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine, and no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages, sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to your house. Thanks for those that showed up. Thank you that we can honor our mothers today, Lord, after we honor you first. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful women. Where would we be today, Lord, without them? We certainly wouldn't be here. Thank you for my own mother, Lord, guiding and directing me. Getting me here today, Lord. I know Dad had something to do with it too, but a lot of it was about Mom. I got my aunts here too, Lord, and I know the mothers they've been and many other folks I know here, Lord, how important they are in our lives. And Lord, being here, listening to our pastor speak is where we're supposed to be today. I pray for our nation, Lord, what a filthy mess this nation's in. And Lord, we have to live in it. But you're there, Lord. I said it in Sunday school. You've already won the battle, Lord. We just have to follow along, Lord, where you lead us. Help us, Lord, to do so. Help us to remember to speak to folks, Lord. Help us to remember to talk of you when we're around folks that don't know you, Lord. Be with my pastor, Lord, today, Lord. Just make him the strongest man in the room, Lord. Help him as he delivers your word today that it might speak to someone today, Lord, and that they need you, Lord, that they would get right before they leave. I pray for just a great day, Lord, and one to honor and glorify your name in all that we do. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me see, where are we at here? 644, please. 644. around you, find someone in need. Help somebody today. Though it be little, a neighborly deed, help somebody today. Help somebody today. Somebody along life's way. Let sorrow be ended. The friend must be friended. Oh, oh, help somebody today. Many are waiting a loving word. Help somebody today. Thou hast a message, oh, let it be heard. Help somebody today. Help somebody today. Help somebody along life's way. Let sorrow be ended. The friend must be friended. Oh, help somebody today. Sing the last. Some are discouraged, weary in heart. Help somebody today. Someone the journey to heaven should start. Help somebody today. Help somebody today. Sorrow be ended, the friend must be friended. Oh, help somebody today. Thank you. Let's see. There is no evening service tonight because of Mother's Day, okay? Men's Bible study on the 25th. Personal evangelism is the 14th and the 28th. Deacons meeting the 23rd. Wilton Bible studies the 16th and 30th, and we will have a baptismal on the 26th in our evening service. We have an ice cream social down here at the park on the 8th of next month, excuse me. Pastor Stop of the Week, the fruits of a godly mother will become apparent as the growing season passes and the harvest season begins. One more thing. You're invited to Isaac's graduation party. This would be Isaac, as in Brown. Let's see. It says, join us for his party on the 19th from 4 to 8. It'll be at the Wilton Community Room in Wilton, Iowa. This will probably be posted on the bulletin board in the back. So thank you for that. And guys, if you come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. The opportunity to be here, Lord, most of all, that we can come here to worship you, Lord, in song and in listening to our pastor speak today, Lord. I pray that you just be with us all, that you'd be with the gift and the giver, Lord, as we take up this offering now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. encourage you to read the lyrics of that song. That's something else. Let me see. What do we got here? Another song to sing. Yes, we do. 194, please. Excuse me. 194. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. He's going to play for us.
I'm going to need this today. I know most of you knew my mother. She's a wonderful Christian and such a blessing to me. And I've been thinking about that all the while I practice this song. It's called With the Bible. Thank you.
That brings back good memories of your mom as well. I enjoyed her very much. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Greetings in Jesus' name. I'll just expound on that a little bit. I'll tell you a little funny story there about Woody and Kay's mom. And yes, young people, if you'd like to go down for children's church, or even older people, if you're tired of hearing me, head on down. But my thought for the week that Lonnie read up there, the fruits of a godly mother will become apparent as the growing season passes and the harvest season begins. If you're here today and the benefits you receive from a godly mother or the things that you're giving to your children as a godly mother, they'll be seen as time passes. But the little story about Mrs. Jondal, it's been a few years ago now. She was still in her up at the condo. And I went in and had a time in the Word with her in prayer, and we visited a lot. And I said, and I happened to notice when I walked in the door, though, on the counter, there was an apple pie. And I said, Helen, about the only thing that would be better on a day like this, but our time of prayer and visiting, would be a slice of apple pie. She didn't know that I'd seen it. She said, oh, Pastor. I just so happened to have it. Then another time I visited her, I took a pie. And that day she didn't feel well, Woody, but she didn't want to have, but she wanted me to have a slice. And I went ahead and obliged her. She was a dear lady. And I think all of us can reflect today on our mothers. And, you know, for good or bad. But the good thing today is what? There's still time to change. And today we're going to look into some places in the Word of God that will help us with that and to look for traits again, of a godly mother. So, anyway, I better open my Bible, and we better pray, but it's good to see everyone today. It's a beautiful day in the Lord once again, and I trust that if your mother is still living, you will take time to at least contact her today, and if she is not living, take a time to thank God for your mother. And as I say with parents, you know, the Bible says we ought to honor our parents. Let me just say this, for good or bad, our parents are our parents. We wouldn't be here without them. And it's all a learning experience, for good or for bad. And I always say, like our kids are beginning to find out, hey, we thought this parent thing was easy till we did it. Well, it's not. And we all have made mistakes and could have done better. But the idea is we come to realize it wasn't a cakewalk for our parents either. They went through plenty of struggles. And so, you know, be thankful today. Be thankful. No matter how that shakes out. By the way, Billy Sunday always used to say, and I believe it was his quote, but he'd always say, contact your mother today. There's something about that. We ought to always be in a mode of reconciliation, again, to reach out. And if there's been a rending, I guess is the proper term, of a relationship with parents, but in particular with a mom today, take time and set that straight. Unwind it and move forward in a way, again, that, you know, is a thing that would be what God would want and what he would honor in that way. Anyway, hopefully, I see mostly smiles today. That's always a good sign. But hopefully today, as we come before the Lord and study in his word, and as we take a time now to pray, we'll bring some things to the Lord and clear our hearts for a time of worship as he speaks to us. And I pray today will be a day that there will be a reaction, and that this will not just be idle talk that passes through the hearing receptacles, but that something there is from God's Word, not from me, but from God's Word will cause us to change and to draw closer to the Lord this day. So in that respect, I greet you, and again, happy Mother's Day. As I said earlier, some of these beautiful flowers that have been passed out, and I think Deb has some things at the back door for you, but I'm always cautious when I put my nose up to a rose. Because for me, the bee usually flies out about that time, right? But happy Mother's Day. Let's go to prayer, and then we'll begin. Our Father God, as we quiet our hearts at this time and have a little time of retrospection and, Lord, a time of steering our hearts toward you, possibly, Lord, Maybe a time of repentance where we have said, you know, I've been neglecting you lately, God. I want to get back into a vibrant walk with you. But Lord, today we want to show you and demonstrate truly from our hearts that you are worthy of our worship, all of our accolades. We know you are the one righteous and just one who is deserving of all praise. And yet, Lord, you have seen fit in your love for humanity, but also coupled with your anger for sin, to make a move of reconciliation toward mankind through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice there on Calvary's cross. Lord, that's the good news. And you are good to all of us above and beyond measure. But that particular goodness, Lord, today we want to praise you and thank you for. You are an awesome God. And Lord, we thank you for all that have come out today. There are no accidents in your program. There's a providential leading in people. And Lord, whether they obeyed that leading and came today, or maybe some came under duress, I don't know, but I know this, there's no accident that anyone is here today. And Lord, there's probably no accident that some are not either. Hopefully you'll work on their hearts, Lord, in the situations that everyone finds themselves in. But Lord, today, above all, we want to bring you honor and glory, and again, be edified and grown and changed here through the preaching of the Word. But Lord, as we look around us, we know we live in a world of hurt. We live in a world of brokenness. We thank you for the institution of motherhood and fatherhood. But we know today, Lord, as always, but in a great case today, your ideals for these institutions and privileges have been bent and warped by sin and the forces of Satan and man buying into that. So today, Lord, I pray there'd be a change in our hearts as we look into your clear and profitable word today and look in the mirror that it is to examine ourselves. Lord, along with that, we know that for those that could not be here today, our prayers go out for them. Lord, whatever the case may be, if there are illnesses or tragic events that have taken place, Lord, we know that there could be people who are discouraged. Lord, they may be ill, critically, with a physical ailment, but also, Lord, it could be a spiritual ailment today of unconfessed sin or unchecked sin in their lives. We just pray today, Lord, that wherever people are, they would come under the enunciation of the Word and under the control of the Spirit. So we pray for those that are missing today. Lord, those that may be on vacation or traveling for various reasons, we pray your protective hand upon them as well. And Lord, we always think of our community around us, right outside of our doors here, friends and neighbors, maybe even enemies, Lord. May we pray for them at this time. We pray for Fruitland and this community and the outlying areas that we reach. Once again, Lord, that we would be effective witnesses with your message of love, the gospel message. But also, Lord, that we would be effective warners, witnesses and warners, Lord, warning people of the consequences and the wrath that is to come apart from you. So now, Lord, as we look into this subject of motherhood today, and I think as we look into it, fathers will be motivated as well, and mothers-to-be, fathers-to-be, whatever the case may be here today, I pray once again, Lord, that you'd grow us and change us from the preaching of the Word. Now, Lord, I do consider it a privilege to speak for you today, but also, Lord, I am a frail human, I'm weak. I think, Lord, you already know I have road lag today from a journey that we've been on and maybe not quite on top of the way things could be. So I pray that you'll prosper it, that you'll free my tongue, free my heart. Today, Lord, again, I need your help and I call it down, the power of the Spirit, to bring forth what you would have us to hear. And we love you today, Lord, and thanks again for a great day. May people celebrate today, Lord, in you. And in, as they recall or physically are able to honor their mothers. And so I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message today is The Model Mother is Found in a Godly Mother. The Model Mother is Found in a Godly Mother. You cannot find the examples for motherhood in a fashion magazine. Even though a fashion magazine may have some bearing on that, the real place that we find out how to be a godly mother is from the Word of God. And let me just give this caveat, as I always do when I speak. I cannot preach the whole Bible in one message, and so today we're going to look at parts of it, but I believe it's an important part of the directives for ladies, for the females, and in specific form for mothers. And so we will be today primarily in the text that's found in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And so, friends in Christ and mothers-to-be in particular, this is a happy day that's set aside for you to be honored. And so I do hope you'll enjoy that today, that it is a day that will cause those that key on you and that you've been able to help and be a blessing to in your life to remember you and to tell you thanks. And again, to make a joyous day for you this day. And again, we'll look today at what makes a mother worthy of honor in God's eyes. That's the key thing this morning that we'll want to investigate. So I ask you this, what is the state of motherhood in our current day or environment? Go ahead and say a few things. Anyone want to? Well, is it good, so-so, or not so good? That's a good way to phrase that, Autumn. Needs improvement, which is what my mother usually received when she went to parent-teachers conference. Well, John has great capabilities, but he could stand to improve. And that's probably a good way to put that, Autumn. But I'll go a step further on that, and I'll say from what I observe, there are some excellent mothers out there today. But there are all, and this has always been the case, but there are some mothers that need help desperately. And let me just say this. Kay, you sang the song about the mother with the Bible in her hand. Today, it's a mother with a phone in her hand. Now, granted, they may be reading the Bible. I have no way to know that, but I kind of think that may not be the case. We've gotten separated from God's ways, and we bought into the ways of the world. I believe that that's the case with the institution of motherhood and fatherhood. But we know that God's ways are the right ways. They're the ways that will cause there to be prosperity. Not necessarily economic prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. And I guess the thing that bothers me the most is to see mothers and fathers alike leading their kids down a path of destruction. Folks, that's a dangerous path. I don't think God takes that lightly. And so we'll talk about some of those things this morning as we explore Proverbs 31. So enough said on that part, and no, today is not the day I'm going to preach the silent message. But that's coming. This morning, some traits of a godly mother. Now, when we talk about traits, you know that I come from an agricultural background. When you work with livestock, and again, humans are not livestock. We were created in the image of God, therefore we have the capability to do better. But when you raise livestock, you weed out bad traits. Right? Kim, what's what? You maybe don't remember. Sometimes Kim doesn't listen to me. When you, let's say, for example, you have cattle. One of the first things I know about cattle, if you have a cow that has her head up all the time, the best place for her to go is to the slaughterhouse. Because you know she's going to be a horrible mother. You're going to have trouble with that cow all the time. Woody, they're going to be headed for the fences every time anything comes down. Our son, Mark, again, I don't know where he gets these traits. Mark is the one who will go to the sale barn and say, Dad, I've got a cow really cheap today. Oh, I see why, Mark. He's learning about that. He's really an intelligent guy, but I just mean, I always, Mark, the cheap ones aren't the best. There's reasons. But the point is, we weed those traits out. And that's what I want to get at today. We need to weed these traits out in the case of mothers, but it's fathers too. All of us, we have bad traits and traits that go against what God would have us to have and as we produce fruit in our lives. And believe me, the production of fruit in children is the responsibility of both the mother and the father. It really is. We won't go into all those roles today, but this morning, some traits of a godly mother. And part of this instruction today, it's going to come from Solomon, but some of it is verbatim given to him by his mama. Now, let's just talk about that before we dig into all this. Who was Solomon's ma? Bathsheba. Talk to me about that. We, in our mind, we think about that story of David and Bathsheba, and maybe we think, well, maybe Bathsheba wasn't the best character model. You know what? I'm going to stick up for Bathsheba today. Sure, she was out on the roof bathing. I won't go into graphic details. She could have maybe done something different there, but it wasn't Bathsheba that was in the wrong. It was Dave. Dave took her. He forced her. I think Bathsheba probably, or at least became, a mother who was after the heart of God. Can I say this morning without being strung up? I think Bathsheba was a godly mother, in spite of the environment that she was in. And I want to encourage all mothers and fathers today, in the environment you're in, you can be a godly parent. Okay? It can be done. You know the story with all that. You can investigate it, but we'll look through this morning. There's some things that may make you chuckle a little bit. We were on this trip, and I've warned Lynn to be prepared to preach in case we got broken down. So I went over this message with him Thursday morning down here, and we laughed a little there in the office. Lynn must be out on guard duty this morning. Yeah. Yeah, but we won't go into that. But anyway, you know the story. And so my prayer today is that the Word would challenge us and change us and help us today. And I praise God for His Word this morning. So let's dig in, Proverbs 31. First of all, what we find here, the words of King Lemuel, that's Solomon, that's a pen name, that's a pseudonym for Solomon. And notice here he says, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So first of all, what do we find here? Number one, his mother was a teacher. And all of you, by virtue of being a mother, are a teacher. And as I alluded to already, you'll either be teaching good things or you'll be teaching bad things. Things that steer your children toward the Lord, things that steer your children away from the Lord. So you're in a very vulnerable, important position as mothers. But she was a teacher, because it says here, she taught him. And the prophecy, okay. Now, we know that prophecy is divided into two parts. There is foretelling, which is giving prophetic events that are to come in the future, but there's also forthtelling. And that's what I'm responsible for here today and what is talked about here with Bathsheba by Solomon. She told him the things that were important and foretold, I believe, the principles of the God of the Bible. And this is what Solomon records from that. And so in the first verse, in verses 1 and 2, verse 2 says, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? I believe this, Bathsheba was questioning Solomon as he was reared, but I think we can find evidence here that Bathsheba, first of all, and these are things you may want to jot down as traits of a godly mother again, was a woman of principle. Not principle as in pal, P-A-L, but principle, P-L-E, I-P-L-E. What I think you'll find here, and the evidence that I find, is found in that last phrase there, the son of my vows. So in other words, Bathsheba was not a lady here who was flim-flam. She was not all over the place. She was not governed by the direction that the wind blew. She was governed by the relationship she had in the Lord and the commitment that she had in the Lord. And I believe Solomon's very being was because of her principles and the work that God did through David's heart when he repented. And remember, they lost their first son, okay, due to the sin that David committed. But here, she had made a principled effort to rear this son Solomon in the ways of God. So that's the first thing. Bathsheba was a woman of principle. She had a vow. She had a commitment that was rock solid to marriage and child rearing. Now, understand here, she did not have the best of environments. We don't know exactly what went on with David, although there's some evidence in Scripture. David struggled from the get-go to the end with what? Infidelity. Okay? And so there was very likely some rocky things that went on through that, but Bathsheba had commitment to the Lord. And I believe that Solomon understood that from his mother. Now, With that said, look for evidence as we go through this today that even though he saw it in his mother, it doesn't mean that he necessarily what? That he listened or lived what his mother said. But I believe what we're reading about today was written in the later part of Solomon's life. When he finally got smarter, before it was too late. All right? But I don't doubt that he struggled, because every one of us in this room still struggles, right? With sin and the things, again, that are hard for us. But let's look at some of the things that Solomon gives credence to in verses 3 through 9. First of all, he says, give not thy strength, this is what his mama told him, give not thy strength unto women, not thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Bathsheba saw it in David. She warned her son of probably the life that his father had lived and the influence that it had negatively on things. And so this is one of the things about a godly mother. She was a warner as well as a teacher of the dangers to her children. And thereby we know, and what we find here is maybe this lady that's laid out here under Solomon's guidance here is a little bit strict and a little austere. But just because your mama may be a little strict and a little austere doesn't mean she doesn't love you. See, that's the next thing I have here. She was a lover of her child. A mama that is strict and austere in rearing, it doesn't mean cold. But what it means is if they love you as a child, they want the best for you. Even though it may not be gushy-gushy, everything's okay. Mothers need to have a purpose that cannot be crossed in their lives. So what I'm saying here to mothers, and we'll hit the fathers in a month or so here again, but have purpose and stick to it. If you don't, you don't love your kids. I don't go to the stores very much anymore, but I used to kind of just cringe when I saw kids throw a fit in a store. I've told you about some of the, you've seen all that stuff too. Some horrible things, I mean, that take place. But a lot of moms go into the store. If kids don't get a toy that day, they've been programmed. You know, you go to the store, you get a toy. Well, what about the day that you don't have the money and you can't afford the toy? And so, and the whole, Leela, you never threw little things like that, did you, for Pamela? Oh, no, I wouldn't have expected that. What's the moms do? You know, what do? Give in? Well, a lot of them do. But the idea there is to discipline our children, keep them on a straight course. It says every time you go to the store, doesn't mean you get a gift, okay? And it doesn't mean you throw a tantrum at the register and so forth. Anyway, enough said, right? Kim's not looking at me again. No. We've been through it, folks. So she was a warner of the dangers, but she was a lover of her children. Go on here. She was warning about the chicks. And then she goes into the next thing. And these are big things, folks. It really is. Verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. And then in verse 6, she gives the purpose of strong drink. And it's a medicinal thing, not a thing to use recklessly. So she condemns drunkenness, which is a danger to her son, and the addictive qualities of that. And then I really like what she says here in verse 8. Notice, and you can read that about that, but she says basically to Solomon, the ways of wine, women, and song are destructive, and be very careful. But I like what she also told him in verse 8. She says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. And what I like here to think about that Bathsheba told him, according to his record here, is speak up for those who can't speak for themselves or are in trouble. In other words, she didn't instruct him, it's all about you, it's about others. Speak up for people that are in trouble. How many mothers have that idea? Again, in our current culture, it's stick up for yourself. But here she's saying, watch out for people who are disadvantaged or who are struggling in one way or another. And then notice in verse 9 is coupled right to that. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And so she is teaching her son to have compassion for those that are disadvantaged. These, again, are not all-inclusive, and I believe Bathsheba had many more traits that were there, but I think you can safely say that these are the take-home things that Solomon never forgot about his mom. Now, why do you suppose he never forgot that, and why God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, caused him to pen these words? Because the truth of the matter is, we have evidence that Solomon didn't listen to his mama. We have the evidence of 700 and 300. wives, 300 concubines. I tell you what, Solomon, you should have listened. She told him, but he didn't listen. She had the basics there, but these are the things he remembered. Why did he remember it? Because he lived through 700 and 300. He probably lived through the drinking and the mind-altering substances in his life. He probably thought every time in his kingship, how have I treated the poor? Maybe he got that right. I think there's evidence that he did, although there was a heavy tax burden on the citizens of Israel at that time. But remember when his son took the throne? They jacked the taxes up even higher, even against the advice of the wise council. These were things that stuck out to Solomon. Some of them he may have gotten accomplished. Others we know he did not, at least in part for his life. It may have been different at the end. Verses 10 through 12, though, Solomon gives some good advice here. Again, I believe it was modeled after his mother and after his experiences that God gave him through the inspiration of the Spirit. And he asks a profound question that is still valid today. In our Inquisitor's class this morning, we admitted that the dating pool for Christians, but even for that matter, if you're an unbeliever, the dating pool, the potential pool for mates in our current day environment is what? Meaning both sides of this, men or women, there's not a lot of good stuff out there. Do I hear an amen, or am I clear off base on that? Especially in the Christian community. It's sparse in most cases. I could go on and on about that, but I better not. But here's the profound question. Read it to me. Who can find? She's nearly unobtainable. Ladies, mothers, fathers, consider this point. Virtuous women are in short supply. Godly women are in short supply. And they are very hard to find. If you find one, you better keep her. You agree with that? And so he goes to expound on that here. They're going to be hard to find. By the way, Proverbs 18:22, you don't need to go there, but it says this: he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But I'll add to that, if she's good. But if you end up with the wrong one on either side of that, it's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you. I'm serious. Yep. So you better find one that's a keeper. By the way, we used to have a card above our bed. I'm cheap about some things. You've seen my little cards that I give out. Marcus, you might want to listen to this. I hand out 3x5s with something on them for Kim, and I write in the bottom, whoops, wrong one there. I write in the bottom, easilyaffordablecards.com. These are worth about what, a third of a cent a piece or less? But Kim has saved all these cards. Yeah. Easilyaffordablecards.com. There's never an excuse not to give your love a card. But anyway, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. We had that above our bed for years. And I still believe it, but I think the card has been moved. I'll leave it at that today. But the fact of the matter here is what he tells us in verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Key word? Trust. so that he shall have no need of spoil or lack of gain. In other words, trust is the basis of a relationship. And a good, virtuous woman, a godly woman, should be a woman of trust. That's a tough thing, isn't it? When we read verse 12, it kind of puts a capstone on this. And again, ladies, but men too, as we sieve through this today. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. By the way, the wife and mother were designed by God to be the complement to man. The Bible uses the term helpmeet, a fitting complement to the man. I will tell you today unequivocally that without Kim, I would be much less capable of accomplishing anything. She is the one that complements. That is what a godly wife and mother will do. They will make you better, not worse. Mothers today, are you making your children, your spouse, better or worse? It's something to consider. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll be a complement, not a complainant. You like that, Faith, the C's?
Yeah.
A complement, not a complainant. You've heard the other word that fits that, nag. Oh, we're not in a good mood today about that. The next quality, so this is your one to jot down, a compliment, not a complainant. Verses 13 through 19, let's look at those real quickly here. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Does it mean that every godly mother needs to know how to work with flax and wool? The answer to that is no. But here's the point that we'll get to. She is like a merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar off. In other words, when I think about the merchant ships, by the way, this does not mean size. It means the quality. I can say this, and this is not a brag on Kim Day, but Kim can pull things out of a hat that I would never believe and make it out of nothing. A godly woman will be well adept at handling all situations, not because that's how she plans them, although that might be part of it, because it's a part of her makeup. Women are miracle workers. They really are. We go on here, though, and look at this under this first point down through verse 19. She riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth food or meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Does this mean that all mothers must be physically fit and go to the gym? No. But the point of all this is, again, this is not a picture of a downtrodden woman or of an abused woman. It's a picture of an industrious woman. And a mother needs to be an industrious person, I believe, according to the Word of God. What I mean by that, we all have a propensity to be lazy, but mothers are called to be industrious, to be engaged in the program. We go on through 19 here. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. The point of this is industrial. She is motivated to achieve and to do a very good job with whatever circumstances come into her path as a wife and a mother. Industrious versus lazy. I don't think a mother can, I don't think it will ever be good if a mother is lazy. And yeah, just in case you're going to accuse me, it isn't good if a father's lazy. And yes, work is a four-letter word, and hard is another four-letter word. But mothers, will you give me an amen this morning? You're pretty quiet. Motherhood is hard. Is that true, Kim? And if you do it well, it's going to wear you out. And fathers, if you do what you need to do well, being a father, it's going to wear you out too, but God will give you the energy to keep going and to see it happen. Never forget it. It's hard work. And moms, industriousness is an important thing in your life. Now we got to keep cooking along here. I like, though, the next thing that Solomon, I believe, again, shows that he found in his mother. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. If she didn't practice what she preached, why'd she tell Solomon earlier to do that? And here we find out that Solomon confirms his mom did that very thing. And what I think that this means here is that a mother, a godly mother, must also have a benevolent heart. A benevolent heart. She cared about the plight of people and her children. And a caring mom is essential. But I believe it's possible for mothers not to care. But a benevolent heart is a trait that's found in a godly mother. Take a look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Back in the days when wool was primarily used for textiles and so forth, it's my understanding, and some of you might want to read the Little House books by Laura Ingalls Wilder. By the way, those are not read a lot anymore. Any of you familiar with those books? They're now considered to be racist. Oh yeah, this is true. I think they've been pulled out of school libraries. Not sure in all cases, but you remember when it was cold, they had what kind of undergarments? Woolen, scarlet undergarments. They were used in the day before we had all kinds of insulation to keep you warm. And so the idea here that we find is that a godly mother will be one who prepares and cares. I got to tell it like it is. I've been in the schools. What is going on when parents and mothers, well, if you can call it that, drop their kids off with no coat when it's 20 below zero? Kim, am I going outside of the guidelines there? I could go right down the line on this stuff. Sometimes a coat or a garment is given to a child at school. The next day it doesn't come back. They come back to school with no... I'm sorry, folks. I mean, you can dress how you want in the winter, and I know I'm old fogey-ish. But when it's 30 below zero, you don't go out in your shorts and your flip-flops. And then call someone when you go in a snowdrift and you're freezing to death. Moms, you have a responsibility. But fathers, where are you at? Well, I'll tell you where they're all at. They're gone. But the point here, she prepares and cares versus the opposite of not caring about a thing. Godly mothers need to prepare and to care. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Here's what I see in this, folks. And again, today, I have to turn the other way, some of the people I see on the street. And that are there with their children. Because I shouldn't be looking at some of the things that are being displayed. She presents herself appropriately, modestly, stylishly. By the way, I shouldn't say this about Kim, but I've told him, you don't need to wear makeup for me because I think you're a pretty lady. And I'll give myself an amen on that. Now, if she chooses to, but the point is, think about how you put yourself together. You know, I just want to say this, mothers and fathers, it's more important to dress for God than it is for man. And here's the principle that I would give on that without me saying a whole lot more, because I think you all know what I'm talking about. But does the way you dress and the way that you present yourself draw your children and people closer to God or closer to man and the ways of Satan? Mothers, this is another place you can teach. It's another place that we need to examine. So she presents herself appropriately, and that's enough said. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. What this is in the city gates in the Middle Eastern culture, that's where the important males gathered a lot, and they were known for who they were. The important people sat in the gate. When I think of the gates, I'm thinking Kim and I sitting in a gate keeping the cows from going through. But that's not what is meant here, okay? But the point of all this is a godly wife and mother should enhance her husband's leadership qualities. But with that said, the husband first has to have in the father leadership qualities. Don't write off the schlep that you're with to stay in the way he is. Ladies, inspire them, nudge them, needle them to a higher position. You get what I'm saying? She enhances her husband's leadership qualities. This translates into motherhood. A godly wife will always direct things to the plus, not the negative. And that's very important in motherhood. Now, I got to hurry up here. We can't go into another week on mothers, right? Verse 24. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Are girdles even worn anymore? Maybe we better not go into that territory this morning. But this is what's meant by that. She's not a lay-down, walk-over wife. She's savvy in business. A sharp mom, a sharp wife is going to be savvy in business. Not out of the loop, but engaged. I got to cut it because we're running out of time. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. We talked about her clothing there earlier, but now we're saying that strength and honor are what helped to make her who she is, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I think that we can boil this down to this, is that a woman and a mother that is godly will be respected in the way she presents herself. Deportment is the word I've got written down. I like to use fancy words. Respected. Ladies and men, are you respected in how you handle yourself? Or is it something less than what it could be? I think it has an effect. I believe it does in the instance of motherhood, but as well as fatherhood. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You don't get what I'm saying. You know that old proverb, telephone, the three main... Lyle, you not familiar with it? Three main communication... Telephone, telegraph, a woman. Lyle, did I see a thumbs up secretly there? But notice the key here is what? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She chooses and portends wise words, but does it under the guise of kindness. That's so important. She is known for a good heart, and that is proven in her tongue. A godly woman and mother is known for a good heart that's proven in her tongue. Verse 27, we're getting there. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Well, we covered part of that, but here's how I'd like, as far as being industrious. But I'd like to phrase it this way in verse 27. The welfare of her family is of prime concern in many ways. The welfare of her family is of prime concern in many ways. I think if you look at an example of a godly mother, you will always see someone who had the welfare of her children and her situation as being a prime, and that's the spiritual welfare as well as the physical, a prime concern and an objective in their life. That brings us down to verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. and he praiseth her. I could tell the story here to lighten this up a little bit because we seem to be very serious this morning. There was a gentleman that was married to a Native American wife. Kim, you remember this story. And she said, "You better watch yourself, white man." What'd you say, Kim? "You have to sleep sometime." The point here in this verse is, you write, her husband riseth up as well. Isn't that what it says? Her husband also, it says, and he praiseth her. But in all seriousness, she is the object of respect and praise from her children and her husband. Ladies, can you say that today? As mothers and husbands, wife, men, a lot of this fits together in the same way. But it's a litmus test. It's a trait. Remember the cow with Mark. By the way, we don't cast out people. We what? We see these things in ourselves and we change. See, we become attractive again to the Lord. Let's finish this up. Verse 29. "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Her life goal is excellence. Her life goal is excellence as a woman, a wife, and a mother. Her life goal is excellence. And the last two verses, verse 30. "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain." What did I tell the Sunday school class this morning, Faith? What I told our kids. You need to marry a believer. You need to be involved. You know, we've told our kids the right things. What they choose to do and what all of it, it's between you and the Lord. But I also gave this little, and I'm using the word caveat today. I said, but when you find the right one, it doesn't hurt if they're good looking too. But here, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. There's something more than superficial things in mothers. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The above qualities coupled with fear that we've looked at this morning of the Lord bring praise to the Lord. And the last verse. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And also of those around her. You'll be known by what you are and who you are. And ladies today, and specifically mothers and mothers-to-be, these are just some of the traits that the Scriptures lay out. But I will say this, these are some basics. They are basics for a challenge for us again to assess where we're at. Here's the conclusion. Could it be, may it be, that this Mother's Day might be a day for mothers and fathers and children to make adjustments. Adjustments and corrections. Maybe some of these things have hit home. They hit home with me. I stand before you as an imperfect father. It's okay to say amen, Kim. It is a good day, and it's as good a day as any to put this stuff behind us and to get on a new trajectory. And that's what Jesus is all about, new stuff. Get out of the rut. Today's the day it can happen. If you're what? If you're willing. Get out of your seats, get out of the ruts, and see changes in your spiritual life and in the production of your life today as mothers, fathers, and children. Do you get the point? The words of wisdom from Solomon and God. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, if you're able. Number 160. Of course, the prerequisite of all of this today is this. If you're apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again into His family, well, you need the help of the Lord to see any of these things become successful in our lives. But the second thing that I'll offer to folks here today is, if you're living apart from Christ today, you're not walking in His pathways, this will not end in a good way. And I can confess to you today, I struggle to walk in His pathways, but I know you do too. But today is another day of God's grace that's here yet for us today to see this put on track. If you need Jesus today as your Savior, call on Him. You're welcome to come up here. I'm here because I need to be, not because I have to be. That's proven from the day that I did the reverse service and preached from the back. But I'm up here because I need to be. Maybe some of you do too. I'm here to come alongside you as one sinner sharing with another, looking for help in Jesus. And let me say, He has it today for you. Maybe you're a failure as a mother, a father, a child. Jesus will help you today. This day, the 12th of May, 2024, is a day that things can be different if you want them to be. Let's sing this today. You deal with the Lord at this time. I'm here to help. There's others. But have you been born again and washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Bring all these things to Jesus. He'll cleanse us. He'll help us. He's there today to save you by you calling on His name and putting your faith and trust in what He has done for you on Calvary's cross. Mothers, have a great Mother's Day. Trust it'll be a good afternoon in the Lord. We're going to be dismissed now to go enjoy what God has given us today. And so I'm going to ask Lonnie to dismiss us with prayer.
Against you.